Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us for the second hour of the show on this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we'll talk supporting Israel with Janine Pullman. Then Diane Raver will review the movie of the month, and Liz Morris will share her love for America. Of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to welcome Janine Pullman. She's a volunteer who works to help Americans go to Israel to help the Israeli people. This is quite a program. Welcome, Janine. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Janine, give us a little bit of your background. Like, where's your home and what got you interested in helping Israel like you're doing?
I've been involved in my Dallas community for many, many years. And it has just been something from my childhood to support Israel and to be there for Israel.
Have you ever been to Israel?
Many times.
Okay. Good. Okay. So that's just part of who you are. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely.
Are you, one way or another, a Jew?
I am a Jew.
Okay. Is that by birth, is that by faith, or a combination?
It is by birth, and it is by faith.
Okay.
I am an active practicing Jew.
Good. Tell us about Sar'el. Last time I was in Israel, it was like 8 years ago or something. That didn't exist then, I don't think.
Well, actually, it has been in existence since 1983.
Wow.
And it started because a general needed help on his base, and he asked his former coworkers and military guys to help him, and it just kind of grew from there. The purpose of Sar'el is to serve Israel and to provide volunteers from all over the world to come to Israel to serve on an IDF base.
So they're not coming to do military work.
Not at all.
They're coming there to let the military Israelis do their military thing without having to, by doing the administrative and support stuff that they would otherwise have to do. Is that fair?
Right. That is a very fair statement. They call it the logistics, and I call it the grunt work. But yes, the volunteers are there for purposes of readiness, always purposes of readiness.
That's a very reasonable, logical kind of thing to do. So this could be all kinds of jobs. It could be administrative paperwork. It could be working in a supply room. It could be driving a truck. It could be anything like that.
So not so much administrative, although one of my jobs one time was to open a box that had just come back from war and go through all the papers. All of it was in Hebrew. And just determine what needed to be saved and what could be trashed. Of course, I can read Hebrew, but I can't speak it. So it was an interesting process, but someone had to do it. And so I did it.
Okay. And that's sort of what helpers do. You do whatever needs doing that you're capable of doing.
Correct. And I was on a base that was a medical base, so we did a lot of checking of medications that had just come back from the front and verifying dates and putting new packages together because they have to be there with their med packs all in ready to go.
Wow. So the one thing you won't be is in a combat area, but you will be almost anywhere if they need people. And you make a really good point. If you can't read and speak Hebrew, you've got to be somewhere where you can read and speak with the people that are there. And therefore, that's somewhat restrictive of where you can be.
Not necessarily, because although I didn't speak the Hebrew, somebody was there that was able to translate if needed. And packaging of items, we put stuff in the similar type box. And so you sort it, then it's ready to go and to be repackaged. It just works. And you could be on a different type of a base I had a friend who learned to take apart a weapon, clean it, and how to put it back together. Somebody else worked on tanks, cleaning them and making sure they were clean and ready to go back out. So it all depends on the base, and it always depends on the commander's needs at any given moment. And as the war trickles down, the need is greater in some ways than during the war, because the reserves are all off the base and everybody's gone back home. And so it's just a little bit of a different scenario.
That's a good point. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Janine Pullman about SAR-L. Virtually everybody of combat age is in the military, but most of them are in the reserves, and therefore they're only called up when they're needed. Then they go back, they go home, they go back to their jobs of supporting the nation.
Right.
And somebody's got to fill that gap.
Right.
And you know, that's a really interesting point. And you know, there's so much, like, how long do normal people, how long do they typically stay?
So a session is Sunday to Thursday at noon. So you meet at the airport first thing in the morning, and then you get taken to your base by bus, and then you get your uniform, you put your suitcase and stuff in your barracks or in a group common tent, a men's tent or a women's tent, and you have lunch, you get oriented, and Monday morning, depending on where you are, but you could start volunteering and doing some work that Sunday afternoon, or you start first thing in the morning on Monday. And you work basically till 4 with breakfast, lunch, and then dinner afterwards. And then they have programming in the evening as well.
Okay. So some people just do that for a week. Some people do it for multiple weeks, I presume?
Yes, yes. And those that do it for multiple weeks leave on Thursday. Essentially, the base is closed for the Sabbath.
Yes.
And then reopens for the volunteers to come back Sunday morning again. So you go through the same process. And people can stay, I believe, up to 6 weeks. And it's best if it's continuous, but sometimes in the past, I believe it hasn't been. And there are also some other opportunities that they're participating with, the Magen David Adom, which is the ambulance service.
Uh-huh.
And there are classes in first aid that you can take, the special program. And they now also have a Krav Maga class that they're working. So those are add-ons to the program. And there is a fee for each of the program, as well as the SAR-L volunteer experience. And volunteers do need to get there on their own.
Yes. So therefore, if I were to volunteer, I have to get myself to Israel and back.
Right.
And
you go through the interview process.
Okay. And that's reasonable too. You need to make sure that I'm who you are. Yes.
Yes. Yes. It is definitely an interview process. You can get to that process by going to SAR-L-E-L.org. And if you go to SARL.org, you can read up all about SARL. You can learn about everything that they do. And then you can start filling out an application. The application goes to the office, and then I will get sent applications. I don't get all of the U.S. applications because I would never be able to come up for air. But there are 8 of us that do the interviewing.
That's awesome.
For the U.S.
One more time, Janine, what's the website?
S, like in Sam, AR-EL.org.
SAR, SAR-EL.org.
Yes.
Thank you, Janine. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your service to our nation's great ally, Israel. Thank you for serving. God bless you.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Next, we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver. Troops, it's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do at least 50. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S. only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM and you get 10% off today. support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Denny Gillum, PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com, promo code FRONTLINES. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And it's time for the movie of the month. So joining us, of course, is our great team member, Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Welcome, Diane. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Denny. Of course, it's always an honor and a pleasure to be here with you and your audience. We're getting excited. We're getting close to the film festival, March 27th through the 30th in Asbury Park, New Jersey. I hope anybody who's in striking distance will join us.
And I strongly encourage them to do that. And the movie that you provided this month was called The Present. The title didn't give me too much of a clue about what the movie was going to be about, but the movie was truly a present, wasn't it?
Wasn't it sweet?
And it was quite a present, and in all kinds of ways.
Yeah. Kudos to the mother.
Yes. You know, it's not uncommon today for kids to be totally consumed on their cell phones and computers. And that's how this thing started. And I figured, okay, so how are you going to solve that one? And by golly, mom did, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
And, you know, here's a few of the comments we got. The boy truly did concentrate on his video games and seemed to truly enjoy them. Well, at least he was concentrating on them. He was focused on them. And he didn't want to be interrupted by anybody like a mother. And there seemed to be nothing wrong with the games he played. And there are some pretty bad games out there, but certainly nothing he was doing.
Well, he wasn't getting fresh air and sunshine, that's for sure.
No, but the games he was playing didn't seem to upset his mother.
No.
That wasn't. So, you know, there's junk and then there's nasty stuff.
Right.
So mom was okay with that. Then, like all good parents, mom knew that the games were not appropriate for his total focus all day long. Well, yes, you don't have to be too smart to figure that out. And a caring parent, mom certainly would do that. So one day mom came home, apparently she was shopping somewhere, and placed a big box next to her son. And all he was unhappy that it got in the way of him playing his game. That's an interesting response, but
yeah, I thought so too.
I think I can understand it too, to a degree. You know, if you are concentrated on doing something, anything, give me the courtesy of not interrupting me. Wait till I have a break or something. But then again, if you're going to give me a box, a big gift, okay.
Yeah, I might be curious. Yeah.
Yeah, and I give mom a lot of credit for that. So he opens it, and the gift was a small, happy, active puppy. And the boy seems shocked. Is that a good word?
I think shocked and not as interested as you would hope, you know?
Right. Not even awfully curious, just what am I gonna do with that?
Right.
But the dog was happy. He was glad to be out of the box. He young and small, just yipping around doing his thing. I thought one thing was cute, apparently, at some point, because the boy went back to playing his computer game, that the dog got the box turned upside down and he was inside it and he was running along. The box was moving along with him. So the dog knew how to have a good time if nobody else did.
Right.
And so at one point, this happy puppy, and there's a ball, and I guess the puppy had played with a child before or something, because he brought the ball to the boy. I don't know that dogs intuitively understand that. So I'm guessing he learned somewhere else. He brings it to the boy and drops it at his feet. And the boy apparently had been around dogs, or at least seen pictures of them on his computer or something. So he got the message, he took the ball, put it in his pocket, and got up. Now that was, I was curious whether he was going to throw the dog out or what. And here we see that the boy had lost part of one of his foot, one foot and one part of a leg, had to walk on crutches. Now, a number of comments are saying, well, that explains why the focus on games, why he's doing things that are basically inside and can be played while sitting down. You know, I'm not sure what I would have done were I that boy, right, with lost part of a leg and a foot to stay active.
I assume knowing folks that have gone through that, that there's a certain amount of not wanting to be stared at or looked at or even made fun of in the outside world.
You know, and on the other side of it, if you have that issue, it's a short-term thing. The artificial legs and feet and stuff like that are very common these days. It's not instant. You don't go from needing it, but this is not a forever situation like it was for much of the history of the world. So he tells mom he's going out, and once he's out the door, he throws the ball. And no surprise, the dog is ready and likes it. And how can you not like that? So therefore, clearly mom made a good, figured this one out. She.
Well, and of course the dog has a disability as well. That was the beauty of the whole story.
What was it? I didn't notice a disability of the dog.
Dogs lost a foot too.
I didn't see that.
Oh, and Denny, you missed the whole point of the film.
So it's two gimps taking care of each other.
Exactly.
Okay. This was a really good move for everything, for both of them. And the puppy was really a good choice. But some of the questions that came in were, well, what other kind of animals might have worked for this too? I don't know. I've got a cat. I'm not sure the cat would have done anything.
Well, the point was mom wanted to get him outside and she meant to do it and give him someone who, you know, he could
relate to him.
Could relate to and realize that was worthy of love. I think that's really the bottom line here.
Well, that's a very, very good point, because, you know, a fish or a bird or something in the house would give him something to look at or play with, but but not get him active. So lots of possible solutions. Mom picked probably the best of all possible ones.
I think she did. I think mom was a very wise mom.
You know, lots of moms are like that. I've noticed
that.
They seem to have a sense on that. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. You mentioned us coming in that this annual festival is coming out. It's held in March, and you're working on it now. Give us another quick review, Diane. We've got a couple of minutes.
Well, we have over 200 films from, I think, 16 countries this year, over 4 days in 9 venues. There's something for everyone. Love to see you. Please introduce yourself as one of the listeners of Frontlines of Freedom. We're thrilled to invite you to join us.
It's really a good deal. And in case you want more information, I guess that you have a website people can go to, right, Diane?
Yep, it's gsff.org. Cleverly, it's the initials of Garden State Film Festival.org. So check us out.
I strongly encourage you to do that. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it is now time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice, then take a break but stay in the area. I'll be right back. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
The Iraq War is more than 20 years old, and troops are still on the ground in Iraq. But why?
For too long, lawmakers have sent American troops to Iraq and beyond in support of vague missions that don't tie to a vital national interest.
At Concerned Veterans for America, we're translating our unique experiences as veterans to call for a better foreign policy that makes Americans safer and more prosperous.
Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. It's a pleasure to welcome Liz Morris from Carrot Top Industries. Liz is a business owner who has a deep love for and appreciation for our nation, and she acts to promote those feelings. So welcome to the show, Liz.
Thanks for having me on.
Two Sundays ago, Super Bowl Sunday, the crowd and our president showed great respect for our national anthem and our nation. I suspect you found that as inspiring as I did, even though I didn't stay and watch the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Tell us about your background. Where did your involvement with flag production and all that sort of thing, where did that come from?
Yeah, so Carrot Top Industries was started by my father in 1980. And he just really believed in the American dream. He knew he wanted to start a business and he couldn't find a flag. So he saw that as an opportunity, and he's really, over the last 45 years, grown this business into a leader in the flag and patriotic product space. And we provide American-made flags to businesses, schools, municipalities, veterans organizations, and Americans nationwide. And I took over in 2019, and my mission is to inspire people to embrace the American spirit of resilience, self-reliance, and action.
Okay, that makes sense. And part of your plan is a podcast you're starting, right?
Yes. So in January, we just went live with a podcast called Freedom and Glory, Tales of American Spirit. And every day at Carrot Top, we hear these stories from our customers, you know, everyday Americans talking about stories of service, sacrifice, and resilience. And I really wanted to find a way to share those stories and inspire others to take action and embrace challenges and pursue their dreams.
You know, that's important. Everybody has dreams, but not everybody takes action. And it's taking action that actually gets things done. That sounds sort of silly, but a lot of people don't see that, I guess. At least that's my observation over life.
True. I mean, I think a lot of times when you listen to podcasts or you hear stories, you know, it seems like some incredible feat that someone's overcome, and it's, you know, monumental. But my hope is that by sharing kind of stories of everyday Americans, you can also just see that even small changes can have a big impact. And the podcast and the Freedom and Glory was inspired by the idea of a bucket of water and one drop of dye. So even, you know, a small thing like dropping one drop of dye into the bucket of water, you know, it can change everything.
It does. And each of us has our own things that we get involved in our life. And if we'll just take that step in our lives, who knows what that will impact on. But it certainly won't happen if we don't act.
Absolutely.
So talk about the podcast. How often is it? Is it on? How do people reach to it?
Yeah, so we release episodes monthly on the second Tuesday. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcast. We also have the episodes on YouTube, so you can watch, re-record the video. And then we post clips and everything on our social media, on Carrot Top social media.
Okay. Who's your next anticipated guest?
Yeah. So we just released an episode with a 99-year-old World War II veteran It was just so inspiring to talk to him. And our next guest, her name's Shawn Roser Warren, and her husband was a Marine Corps veteran. He was killed in a hit and run, and she started a community fund in his legacy. And she's done a memorial garden, kind of beautification. She does work at her local cemeteries, putting out grave markers for all the veterans. So she's really, you know, to your point, she's someone who saw some things around her that she wanted to improve. And she took that first step to kind of make it happen. So she raised money through cans and bottle drives. And I just love her story because, like I said, it's such a small community there. She's up in DeRidder, New York, but I think she's had far-reaching impact. She's had mayors and community leaders from towns around her reach out to her and say, you know, how did you come up with your banners? How did you, execute on a project like that?
You know, that's fantastic because you're encouraging everybody to step up and go for it. And many times that goes a lot further than you anticipated. Everybody just needs to do what they can do, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, that, wow, a 99-year-old World War II vet, that'll be interesting to listen to.
Yeah, so that episode just came out last week, and Mr. Dorma Holt is his name, and he lives in Burlington, North Carolina. And I mean, I feel like he's lived, you know, four lifetimes. He served in the Battle of the Bulge, and after the war went to Japan, and then, you know, when he returned home from service, he was an entrepreneur and started a number of businesses, and it's just also started a family. So it's just, my grandparents aren't still alive, and it's not every day that you get the opportunity to talk to someone who's lived through all the changes that he's seen.
That's very true. And when we find them, honoring them, holding them up as role models, and just understanding that they're a big part of the history of our nation. I completely agree with your, one, being impressed, and two, wanting to share his story. That's amazing. One more time, how would people listen to the next one?
Search for us online, Freedom and Glory, Tales of American Spirit, and you can watch us on YouTube or listen to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Okay, let's go back to Carrot Top Industries. That's principally a flag manufacturing company, isn't it, right?
Yes. So, yes, we sell flag and patriotic products, and we sell both to municipalities and institutional customers, and also to individuals, Americans, veterans, all across the nation. We're located in Hillsboro, North Carolina.
Well, every patriot should have a flag and fly it at least appropriate times for them. I like to fly mine every day. How does someone plug into Carrot Top Industries?
Yeah, so our website is carrot-top.com. And yeah, you can find, you know, everything you need from, if you just want to fly a flag, you know, off your house or have a flagpole on your property, to if you want to create a memorial for your community, and commercial flagpoles and street banners. So we welcome your business.
We got another minute or so. Give us a final comment. Wrap up your thoughts that you'd like everybody to take from our talk today.
Yeah. So I know that you all also, you know, kind of talk about policy and laws and regulations, and something that is happening in the flag industry. Just yesterday, the House introduced a new bill, the Make American Flags in America Act. And so there's also, you know, a lot of advocacy efforts that are happening in the flag space. This bill requires that the federal government buy and fly flags that are made in America. And it also initiate a study around flag labeling. And so there's been a rise in the industry of basically textile products not following the required country of origin labeling. And that is how a lot of imported flags have been introduced And, you know, it's just upsetting to see, I think, for industry leaders. We want Americans, they want to buy a flag that's made in America, which I hope they do. We want them to be able to feel confident that what they're seeing, you know, on the website, what they're seeing when they buy the product is actually, you know, made in America.
That I totally, totally agree with. Liz, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your love of and support of our nation and our nation's heroes. I'm glad we're friends.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups now. How about 64 this time? I want your Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
HealthVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HealthVet.net is a national health center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it is mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Send your comments to me at frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
All right, Colonel, the first comment is, we need our government to care for our veterans and not those trafficking illegally any human across our borders. I am located 13 miles from the northern border, which is being overrun daily. And the Canadian farmers are complaining about trespassers being captured on cameras every single night.
Your points are valid. Our northern border is a mess too, as well as our southern border. It appears that the Canadian government is going to help secure our northern border, and hopefully quite soon. And now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 27 February 1776, in the early morning hours, Commander Richard Caswell led 1,000 Patriot troops in the successful Battle of Moore's Creek over 1,600 British Loyalists. It would go down in history as the first American victory in the first organized campaign of the Revolutionary War. British Colonel MacLeod began marching 1,600 Loyalists from Cross Creek, North Carolina, towards the coast, where they could rendezvous with other Loyalists and Redcoats at Brunswick, North Carolina. When the Patriots arrived at Moore's Creek Bridge, ahead of the British, Caswell positioned his troops in the woods on either side of the bridge, awaiting the British with cannons and muskets at the ready. The British knew of the Patriot troops at Moore's Creek, but expecting only a small force, decided to advance across the bridge to attack. As the British force advanced across the bridge, they were cut down by a barrage of Patriot musket and cannon fire and quickly surrendered, and the Patriots had their first victory of the war. The victory ended British authority in the state. Within 2 months, North Carolina became the first state to vote in favor of independence from Britain.
Uh-huh. And on 24 February 1917, during World War I, British authorities gave our ambassador to Britain a copy of the Zimmermann Note, a coded message from German Secretary Zimmermann, the German ambassador to Mexico. In the telegram, intercepted and deciphered by the British intelligence people, Zimmermann stated that in the event of war with the U.S., Mexico would be asked to enter the conflict as a German ally. In return, Germany would restore to Mexico the lost territories of Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. President Wilson allowed the note to be published. This helped turn U.S. public opinion, already severely strained by repeated German attacks on U.S. ships, firmly against Germany. On April 2nd, President Wilson urged our immediate entrance into the war, and 4 days later, Congress formally declared war against Germany.
And on 28 February 1943, during World War II, the Norsk Hydro Power Station near Ryukan was badly damaged by a sabotage team of Norwegian soldiers who have been parachuted in from Britain. This plant was known to be in use by the Germans to produce heavy water for atomic research.
I didn't know about that. And on 24 February 1991, after 6 weeks of intensive bombing against Iraq and its armed forces, a U.S.-led coalition launched a ground invasion of Kuwait and Iraq. On 2 August 1990, Iraq had invaded Kuwait, its tiny oil-rich neighbor, and occupied most of the strategic positions in the country. 1 week later, Operation Desert Shield, our defense of Saudi Arabia, began as our forces massed in the Persian Gulf. 3 months later, the UN Security Council authorized the use of force against Iraq if it failed to withdraw from Kuwait by 15 January 1991. At 4:30 p.m. on 16 January 1991, Operation Desert Storm, a massive U.S.-led offensive against Iraq, began as the first fighter aircraft were launched from Saudi Arabia and off U.S. and British aircraft carriers in the Persian Gulf. All evening, coalition aircraft pounded targets in and around Baghdad as the world watched on television transmitted live via satellite from Baghdad and elsewhere. Operation Desert Storm was conducted by an international coalition under the command of U.S. General Norman Schwarzkopf and featured forces from 32 nations. During the next 6 weeks, the Allies engaged in a massive air war against Iraq's military and civil infrastructure, encountering little resistance. And on 24 February, a massive ground offensive began. By the end of the day, the Iraqi army had folded, 10,000 of its troops were prisoners, and a U.S. airbase had been established deep inside Iraq. Kuwait was liberated, and a majority of Iraq's armed forces had either been destroyed or had surrendered or retreated into Iraq. On February 28th, President Bush declared a ceasefire, and Iraq pledged to honor the future coalition and UN peace terms. 125 American soldiers were killed, and another 21 regarded as missing in action.
I remember watching that on television, real time. That was different, Colonel.
Yeah, I had helped write some of those war plans, but I wasn't still on active duty.
And on 28 February 1994, in the first military action in the 45-year history of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, U.S. fighter planes shot down four Serbian warplanes engaged in a bombing mission in violation of Bosnia's no-fly zone. Later, on 20 December 1995, NATO began the mass deployment of 60,000 troops to enforce the Dayton Peace Accords signed in Paris by the leaders of the former Yugoslavia on December 14.
And that's military history for today. What would you do if you were forced to defend yourself or your family? These situations can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. In addition to it being the worst day of your life, you can face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you can find yourself in the legal system. It's the way the law works. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people who through events who never thought it would happen to them. With their Legal Defense for Self-Defense program, experienced attorneys are always ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To begin your membership today, go to U.S. Law Shield and use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, in a Chili's restaurant parking near Chattanooga, Tennessee, a man met Derek Middlebrooks, age 21, to buy some tools at a very good price. The victim gave Middlebrooks about $700 and then went back to unlock his vehicle to receive the tools. Middlebrooks drove away with the money, but the victim and his girlfriend chased him at high speed. The two cars collided, and Middlebrooks fled on foot with the victim close behind. The victim caught Middlebrooks, who then shot him in the face, leaving him blind in one eye, but alive. Middlebrooks was charged with attempted first-degree murder, reckless endangerment, and a gun charge, and a bond was set at $750,000.
Thanks, Colonel. There's a lot to talk about here, so let's dive right into it. First, when someone offers to sell you new tools at half price, you can assume the merchandise is stolen. Not many people buy tools at full price and then sell them for a loss. Be forewarned that it's a crime to both sell and purchase stolen merchandise. So the victim in this case could also be charged with a crime. Second, When you do business with criminals, you can expect to be cheated, as there is no honor amongst thieves. Be careful of the company you keep. Every time you knowingly consort with criminals, you're putting yourself in harm's way. Third, don't engage in a high-speed chase after a criminal or with anyone else for that matter. The victim endangered his own life along with his girlfriend and every other person on the road that day. It was fortunate that no one else was hurt. If this ever happens to you, take a picture of the criminal's car and license plate, then call the police and let them do the chasing. And fourth, don't let your ego and anger get the best of you. Always maintain discipline and self-control. Okay, so you did something stupid and lost $700, but don't compound your error with poor judgment. In effect, the victim was trying to perform a citizen's arrest, but he didn't have the ability or expertise to pull it off. Anytime you chase after a criminal, you have to assume that he is both armed and dangerous. The victim in this case did everything wrong and is lucky to be alive. As it is, he'll be blind in one eye for the rest of his life. I can only hope that he learned from his mistakes and uses better discretion in the future. Nonetheless, Frontlines of Freedom wishes him the best as he recovers from his injuries and hopes that our listeners can learn from his mistakes.
Well said, Skip. Our movie of the month is The Present. We just reviewed it. You can still go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. It's cool. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Dr. John Hughes will discuss the challenges at West Point. Then General John Tykart will discuss leadership. Marine vet Ryan Engel will share about the recent National Veterans Home Conference. And Teresa Robinson will introduce us to another female veteran. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.